America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner with us. Day after day, as I said, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, including today, because everything that can be shattered will be shattered or shaken. So send your gifts to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be Ashley's views, and we'll have to get Ashley's last name, because I just talked to her this morning, and in fact, I... going through my emails and came across an email that dealt with what's going on in the Central Valley of California, where thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres of land lie parched. I mean, this is one of the great agricultural areas of the entire country, the food basket for America, where so much of our food comes from. And yet, of course, the land now is baked and dry, and the crops aren't there. And crops are having to be brought in from other countries because we're not producing the crops in the Central Valley that we should be, because there's a 3-inch endangered smelt. And of course, the farmers there were furious. They were holding big meetings. But we, day after day after day after day, we don't hear about that. We hear about, well, Jay Leno, you know, and his new program that's going on, President Obama, what he's doing. Michelle Obama's working there in their victory garden there on in the White House, and all sorts of incidental and really unimportant things that are going on. But I mean, here is one of the great human tragedies of our time that is going to have a profound impact on our society, and we're not covering this in the news. So I went on the internet. I was looking for one water council group, and I came across Ashley's, and I called her, and she was good enough to agree to come on to our program to talk about the crisis that is befalling the farmers here in the Central Valley of California. Ashley, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you give us her last name? My wife's secretary said, what's her last name? And I said, I don't know. What is your last name?
My last name is Indreary.
Indreary?
Correct.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell us really what your organization's all about? Tell us about the plight of the farmers, and really, we should be reading about this here in California anyway, where we're having such disastrous unemployment. I think we're well over 12%, 12.2, 12.7% unemployment, and a lot of those are farm workers, but we're really not, at least I'm not hearing about this, and I keep my ear pretty close to the ground. I read half a dozen newspapers every day. And yet, here's one of the really things, profound things that's going to influence our society. So you pick up and tell us the story.
Well, unfortunately, this is not the first time that farm water has been shut off in California. And my organization, Family Water Alliance, was started in the early 1990s when water was shut off in Northern California to farmers, and the people that started my organization saw the devastation to our community that was supported by agriculture from socioeconomic impacts. And unfortunately, our voice is small in numbers around the nation, and sometimes we are not listened to. So unfortunately, we are in the same situation today as we were in the early 1990s.
All right, fine. Now, was that up in the Klamath Valley, or what are we speaking of now?
This is actually, it was in Northern California when Glenn Calusa Irrigation District, which is a large irrigation district in the Sacramento Valley, their farm water was shut off due to violations of the Endangered Species Act.
And so then what happened? Did they eventually get shut, turned back on again?
They were able to get a fish screen into place that would allow them to pump the water and protect the fish species.
All right, fine. So then, of course, what's happened since that time as far as the availability of water to farmers? Because farmers are dependent upon water.
Correct. We need the land and the water to grow the crops that feed the nation. It seems very, very simple to you and I, but unfortunately politics sometimes get in the way of that. And as our population has grown, our state and federal government have failed to invest in water infrastructure.
Hold that. We'll be right back. Well, Ashley, my understanding is that there's plenty of water. There are lots of canals with water in it. It's just that they've shut it off as far as the farmers are concerned.
Yeah, it's going to other purposes, mostly the environment and some urban use as well.
Well, isn't agriculture part of the environment?
Not when you consider it as a water user. It's a separate user in the views of the state and the Department of Water Resources.
But what's this doing to the farmers? I mean, what about their income? What about a food production here in the United States?
You know, we've said that it's a risk of national security, and the farmers that grow the food that feeds our nation is very important, and we would hope that other people would share that view. I think that politics, unfortunately, gets in the way and is clouded over fish and protecting fish versus growing corn and wheat and rice and tomatoes and other commodities in our state.
But how can a society survive if you can't grow your food, if the government prevents the farmers from growing food? We're going to be totally dependent upon other countries for our food, aren't we?
And that's the scary part, because that's something that our country has done with oil, and it's, you know, created wars, and that's nothing we want to have happen to our food supply, something such a basic need, you know, to all families in California and in, you know, the United States.
Well, the thing that really disturbs me is, you know, I've seen just a few little articles about this. I know there was one big demonstration up in Sacramento, but certainly we're not hearing a lot about that through regular channels.
You know, I think it's gotten a lot of attention in recent weeks, and there's been some national news programs that have visited the Central Valley and given some attention to the issue, but I think a lot of people dismiss it as the old California water wars. You know, they've been bickering about water for decades back there, you know, and it's just kind of the same old rhetoric. And, you know, we're at the perfect storm where there's no water, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland are being fallowed, like you said. There's 40% unemployment rates. You know, what's known as the breadbasket of the world is importing food to feed the unemployed farm workers. And it's a real travesty in California.
And, Kristen, that's one of the major reasons for the high rate of unemployment. But, you know, at least the articles I read never mention the devastation of the farm industry, which has always been one of the strong points here in California. And this is going to have a profound impact upon the tax structure, the income structure of our state. No wonder our state is having trouble, you know, when we've cut off the income from such a large segment of our society.
Yeah, it's a $36 billion industry in our state, and in these hard economic times.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ashley is just pointing out that the agriculture in California is a $36 billion industry that has been essentially gutted. In other words, it has not happened by accident. It isn't because there isn't water. The water is flowing out to the sea. The water is being allowed to flow out to the sea because of a 3-inch smelt that's endangered. And there's a 40% unemployment rate in the Central Valley. The land is dry, not producing any crops. The area, the food basket of the United States, indeed the food basket of the world, is now having to import food from other regions. How long is this going to go on?
You know, unfortunately, there are some short-term solutions that can be put into place, but the real long-term solutions, like above-the-ground storage and additional conveyance and the investment in water infrastructure, you know, take some investment and a long time to build. So it's nothing that can be solved overnight, and you know, we want to be proactive instead of reactive, but essentially we are in a situation where agriculture and California farmers are having to be reactive because of decades of political bickering and inaction by our government.
Well, certainly this is a state issue, but the state isn't allowed to solve it. The federal government has come in, but how can they? I mean, the smelt, this is not the 3-inch smelt doesn't go across state lines. They should have nothing to say about that smelt because it is indigenous to the state of California. Those smelt are in our state. They're not going across state lines. This is an unconstitutional act on the part of the central government.
Yeah, those environmental laws have raised, you know, fish and wildlife species over the needs of humans. And since the Endangered Species Act has been passed, you know, nobody thought that it would be litigated and used by environmental extremists like it is today. And it's not that farmers aren't good stewards of the environment, because they absolutely are. I mean, they need the land and the water to produce food. And it's in their best interest to take care of our natural resources.
Well, what you're saying is they pretty well destroyed the $36 billion food industry here in California, or at least a large segment of it.
You know, I think it's at a tipping point, and you know, we need some action now. You know, that's why there's rallies, that's why all this demonstration is going on, because if this continues, then yes, you know, our agricultural economy is at risk. But there's things that they can do. There's relief that can be given. You know, there's some compromise that can be made on environmental laws to help our economy and save our economy.
Well, what's our courageous governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, doing to try to preserve one of the major industries of California? You know, California is the 7th or 8th largest economy in the entire world, and it's simply going down the toilet. What's Arnold Schwarzenegger doing to try to get, you know, the release of the water? Because there's plenty of water. It's simply flowing out into the ocean and not doing anything. Well, it is helping the 3-inch smelt. But what is the governor doing? What is the legislature doing? Don't they care about the fact that they're going to bankrupt many of our farmers?
You know, I think for the most part our governor really does care, and he is doing, you know, what he can. I mean, California's political climate is interesting, as you well know, but this is a governor who has, since the day he got in office, fought for California farmers and agriculture and to do an investment in water infrastructure. And he's one of the few governors that have done that in some time, and we fear the next governor will not. So our window of opportunity is now, because we think Schwarzenegger has the means and at least the position to help solve this problem.
Well, I thought that one of those bond issues that I don't know how much they voted, I think 30, 20 or $40 billion in bonds a couple of years ago. I thought part of those bonds were, you know, for water purposes and water levies and things of that sort. What is the true story about that massive bond issue? That wasn't some of that for the rivers or the water issue?
Well, it was for environmental purposes and habitat restoration and ecosystem restoration. And there was a bond for levee repair, which was a huge investment in California levees. Unfortunately, some of the other infrastructure that goes along with that of new water storage and conveyance, you know, that wasn't part of the bond package. And that's something that, you know, some of California legislators are pushing for right now. I don't know if the speaks or you know, the talks that they're having are very encouraging, but we hope that, you know, that the terrible situation and the disaster that has been created by political inaction will be solved by those who are elected to represent us.
But this is a man-made disaster, isn't it?
I agree.
And certainly something has to be done. Now, my understanding is the legislature's gone home. Is that right?
I heard talks that they might do a special session, and I believe some of the you know, the Big Five are still discussing that they might come to an agreement on water. But that changes from hour to hour and day to day, as you know, as it does down there in Sacramento.
Well, will money solve it? I don't see how money will solve the problem as long as the federal government insists on letting the water run out to the ocean.
You know, if we were to create, you know, there's many pieces of the puzzle that need to come together to to make it work. You know, many people in the environmental community believe, you know, if we just conserved more water, then we wouldn't be in this situation. And, you know, conservation isn't the solution. It's only part of the solution. And farmers have increased food and fiber production since the 1960s by 87% by not, and also didn't increase their water usage because of advances in technology. So, you know, farmers have done their part, and we're looking for other people to do theirs.
But are the environmentalists really want to solve the problem? So often we get the impression that the people in the environmentalism want a problem so that they can, well, so that they can simply expand the power of government and regulate people. And in many instances, they've led to disasters in their policies. They've shut off the development of nuclear energy, driven up the price of energy. They're tearing down dams so we don't have any hydroelectric power, electricity. And, of course, then we have to go to sun and wind energy, which is, of course, massively going to increase the cost of electricity. And that, of course, is going to drive even more of our industries out of the country. I mean, have you talked to the environmentalists? What do they say about the destruction of the life of our farmers and certainly the impoverishment of our people? Or do they care?
You know, I think the criticism of them is justified. You know, I think some people in the environmental community do not want a solution to this problem because it keeps people gainfully employed if we do not have a solution. You know, but others, you know, sometimes they're a little bit more moderate and they come to the table and are willing to negotiate. But, you know, the environmental community doesn't want development and doesn't want growth and dams and storage and those types of things they think are growth-inducing, so they will fight them at any cost.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question, a comment, you agree, you disagree. Maybe you think that we should preserve those little smelt and forget about producing food here in California. After all, we can always import food from communist China and certainly from Asia and from Mexico. And so should we be concerned about food production here in the United States? Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But Ashley, certainly with our state as strapped as they are financially, is there anything that we can possibly do? We don't have enough money for our schools. We don't have enough money. I think maybe they just returned the health care bill to provide health care for children. But certainly, if the federal government's going to come in here and say you can't use the water, is there anything we can possibly do to influence it? Certainly our congressmen don't listen to the people. I mean, I think this is why the public support for Congress, some people say it's a 12%, other people say it's 22%, but whether it's 22% or 12% confidence in the Congress of the United States, that doesn't speak very well of the democratic process, does it?
Not at all. I mean, I think that there needs to be a balance between man and nature, and that's a slogan, you know, that our organization has used for some time, but unfortunately our new slogan that we came up with just last week was California Farmers, the Next Endangered Species. That seems like the way things are going.
I think that's a great, great slogan. Well, I'll tell you what, you must have hit a tender nerve because right now our board is blinking, all the red lights are on. But you can keep calling, trying to call in. We'll have a line open before long, but right now we have Barbara calling from Santa Cruz, California. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having Ashley on. I hate to show my ignorance, but and I've seen driving down through the area of there in the Central Valley and seeing the workers with their signs. But Ashley, what is it exactly that they grow down in that area?
They grow everything from almonds to pistachios to cherries to corn. I mean, there's numerous row crops and permanent crops that are grown in California. I mean, it's amazing the food and fiber that is produced.
Mm-hmm. I mean, rice, the city has always been one of the large crops as well. I mean,
and that is something that is the most popular commodity where I am from, a little bit farther north. We are the number one producing county of rice in the nation.
All right, fine. Anything else, Barbara?
Okay, no, that was primarily what I was just wondering is that, you know, because you know, we're going to be deprived of these resources, and you know, the prices are going up. The farmers and you know, it's just going to drive the prices up for the farmers, and it's just so much harder to, you know, to keep going. But if I remember, what the little smelt were, they were like little fish that kind of come around once a year, and where I grew up, and you know, they were very hardy little things, and they probably would survive.
All right, fine. Anything else, Barbara?
Thank you. Primarily what I wanted to know was just actually what it was. So it's mostly. You have tree crops and row crops down in that area.
Correct, right. Yeah.
Okay, and then with a 40% unemployment, I mean, think of the suffering. A lot of these people are legal immigrants here. People want a job, and of course, thanks to the federal government, President Obama, we can't do anything about it. I mean, he could, by executive order, correct it tomorrow, but, well, we'll wait to see what happens. We'll be right back. Hold on. Barbara, do you have something else you want to say?
Are we dependent upon President Obama, or are we dependent upon Governor Schwarzenegger?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Go to Stewards of the Range. Stewards of the Range is it's in the conservative organization that George Kelly Grant apparently has various ways of getting around this foolishness of the Endangered Species Act. What do you think of that suggestion?
I'm very familiar with the organization, and we're also a private property rights organization, so I subscribe and I'm supporters of that organization, and you know, we believe in local control over local issues, and that's something very near and dear to our organization's heart. And we're working with our local boards of supervisors. You know, they have the same position as we do, and I think it is a very effective tool to get the locals listened to.
Well, of course, I think they have to know how to go about doing it. Apparently, there's certain stipulations in the law that can be used to our advantage, just as the law is being intentionally, and I believe maliciously, used to our disadvantage. Anything else
but
you want to say, Gloria?
I would say you need to take the driver's seat instead of working with the local officials. They are the ones that are in control. With this USC code, you are in control, and the federal government has to be subservient to your coordination plan. You have to come up with your individualized coordination plan. So really check it out, because that you don't want to use the cooperation and the scoping process and all the baloney stuff. You want to be in the driver's seat telling the federal government, and they will take notice, and they know about this, but they just don't tell people about it.
Correct. I know it's something that's been tried and proven over the past few years to be very effective.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Gloria. I really appreciate your call, and maybe you could give me a call off the air and give me the telephone number of these people. We'll get them on our program, okay? Thanks so much. So let's go to Paul, who's calling from Oklahoma. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Paul. How are you doing? Are you having problems similar to this down in Oklahoma?
No, it brought to my memory, though, when I lived in upstate in Idaho, and they had the spotted owls. And most of the area up there, the only way you could make any money, any stuff to work at a fast food or Walmart or something, was to work in the timber. And I remember when they had when they had the spotted owl deal?
Sure. It was simply another scam. It's like they smelled. It was used to shut down our lumber industry, so it would be dependent upon lumber from other areas and drive up the cost of building homes here. Part of the method of transferring our wealth to other countries. But go ahead, Paul.
I remember I knew people I knew one person that went to our church that he had a shop that kind of fixed chainsaws and sold different parts and stuff like that. And they made a t-shirt up that said, looked like the Campbell's soup, but it said, spotted owl soup.
Right.
And then they started actually, not him, but just different people, because they were losing, they weren't making any money.
Well, of course, Paul, this is done intentionally. If it isn't a spotted owl, they'll find some other sort of bird. They don't want the timber developed. They don't care about the spotted owls. They don't care about the deer and the animals. And in fact, they do everything to keep from having the underbrush cleared so that there'll be terrible fires and the animals will all be incinerated. That is simply a cover for a different agenda, and we see our fires burning, our forests burning here in California, because of course the environment. Well, we have a good friend. His name is Michael Shaw. He's a frequent guest here. He's attended meetings with federal officials who have said that we don't want to let the forest burn. We want to make the forest burn, and that's what it's all about: total destruction. But I share your concern. I'm glad you feel deeply about it, but you have to help us get the truth out about what's going on. What are your thoughts on what Paul is saying there, Ashley?
You know, I know that industry has been decimated for the same reasons that, California farmers are facing today. And, there are
people who worked in the timber industry in California and, you know, were experts about this environmental regulation stuff that are now sharing their expertise in California water issues. And so, you know, it's the same agenda that other industries have faced, and so we hopefully can gain their experience and learn from their experience that they've had in the timber industry to protect California agriculture.
Okay. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the central coast of California. How do you feel about what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, are you going to sit back in your comfortable, armchair and watch the football season? Or are you going to get involved? Because, you know, well, it's not your farm that's going to be lost. It's not your job that's going to be lost yet. But men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And if you aren't involved in doing something to help the farmers in the Central Valley, many of them, I'm sure, are in debt, and many of them probably will lose their farms because of this, then who will come to your aid when your home is in danger? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course, this is the time when we always say how much we enjoy hearing Kate Smith sing God Bless America. At one time, of course, it was considered to be our national anthem. It considered to replace the Star Spangled Banner in many ways. I'm sorry that it didn't. But, of course, it still brings back many memories of a different time when we lived in a different country. And, of course, people really did look to God for his blessing. We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ashley, and I'm going to let Ashley get her telephone number out and her organization website out. Our telephone number here, of course, you would like to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Ashley, would you like to get information on your organization? And perhaps people might want to get in touch with you, get information, or even help you.
Yeah, we do have a website. It's familywateralliance.com, and all of our contact information is on there. You can reach us by email, and our phone number is also on that website. So feel free to share your thoughts with us.
familywateralliance.com. That's familywateralliance.com. And Ashley, what's your official title?
I am the executive director with the organization.
All right, fine. Well, are you getting more in the way of support and people interested in this from, you know, people here in California? Because this is having a devastating effect on our economy, certainly on the lives of so many tens of thousands of people.
You know, we have grown tremendously over the years from being a few people sitting around a kitchen table in a small rural farming community to what we are today. So even with these hard economic times, you know, we've been growing, and the support of the locals and the farmers is overwhelming and very humbling for myself.
All right. Well, it shows that you're acting as a rallying point for them. Sydney, what sort of response was there at that rally that they just put it up on the YouTube? How many people came out to that? Farmers were there in large numbers. And was that Sean Hannity, or who was the master speakers there?
Yeah, that was, and that's definitely brought some attention to the issue, like I said earlier. You know, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people there. And, you know, that exposure has been great because it's gotten people's attention, and it's, you know, it started making some headlines over the past week since it's aired. And, you know, our website saw hundreds and hundreds of more hits than we normally do. And we got quite a bit of emails and questions off that. So it's been helpful.
All right, fine. Well, I think that I wish that our local television was emphasizing this here at Channel 8. Of course, we have an agricultural area, but I guess they're too busy on other things. Well, let's go to Ruby, who's calling us from Live Oak. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Ruby. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have to say I'm kind of confused. Because I've been up and down the state of California quite a bit, and anyone with any brains could see that farming is the greatest thing that we've got going for us in this state. And to think that there would be some people that would be trying to destroy what is actually the backbone of our economy here sounds completely insane to me. And what sounds even more insane, that is being, you're saying that it's the environmentalists that are behind this destruction?
Well, but the people behind the environmentalists, you have to understand the environmental movement is simply a front for another force. And if you listen to our programmers regularly, Ruby, you should know that. But anyway, it would appear to be insane to you and me, but it's not insane at all. These people know exactly what they're doing. They just want the public to know, and they figure that they're too busy watching television to really care until it comes their turn. I suspect that the farmers in the Central Valley of California really haven't been concerned about other problems that we have. They're probably not concerned about the Iraq War and the million people who've been slaughtered over there and the 5 million orphans that have been created and the million widows that have been created by our activities, because they were concerned about what was affecting them. But you see, we're all in this together. Freedom is indispensable. And if we aren't concerned about other injustices, then when injustice comes to us, there won't be anybody left to be concerned. So anything else you wanted to say, Ruby?
Well, I know that you've mentioned several times, and I've always had a real deep respect for the Amish people. And my family goes back generations, I mean, up until the last few years, just generations of farmers. And I'm kind of wondering, it seems to me that probably the people who would respect the environment more than anybody, as a matter of fact, have an absolute awe and reverence for the environment, are farmers. The land is very, very sacred to farmers. I'm kind of wondering, the Amish being less technological, I wonder how they balance their environment issues with their farming issues. Obviously, they're very successful farmers, and yet they they're not into all this technology either.
No, that's it, they really
confusing to me.
You go back in an Amish or Mennonite area, and on Sunday you'll find them out there with their horse-drawn carriages going to church, and they live very, very simply, and they don't have electricity, but they live good, wholesome, God-fearing lives. And it's, and they take care of their own. They don't take Social Security. They take care of their families when they get old, because of course they love one another and they love God.
Yes.
So anything else, Ruby?
I just like I said, I've always been a nature lover myself. I just am very confused about this issue, and if the environmentalists are behind this, I'm ashamed of them, because I just think that this is crazy.
Well, this is not crazy. I don't think it's at all crazy. I believe it's diabolical, but I don't think it's crazy.
Well, we should be helping the farmers.
We sure should be.
Not hurting them.
And we need your help, and people like Ashley need your help to get the word out here. Because believe me, most people in Santa Cruz really are totally unaware of what's going on over the Central Valley or the hundreds of thousands of acres of parched land.
Even though the Pajaro Valley is right there and Salinas Valley is right down there, and
sure,
farming is just everywhere here.
Sure, but we've got enough water for now, Anyway, thanks very much for calling, Ruby, and I appreciate your call. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Ashley from the Family Water, is it Council?
Alliance.
Family Water Alliance, and she's on the front lines of this battle. Well, when will we know whether or not our legislature is going to do anything? And what about this thing that Gloria from Spokane was talking about, specific things within the law that allow you to use certain stipulations that will prevent the federal government from intervening?
You know, I think that there's things that our local government can do. I don't know if they're going to be able to change the Endangered Species Act. I think that that's something that our congressional representatives need to work on and have tried to work on in the past. I mean, Congressman Pombo tried overwhelmingly to make some changes to the Endangered Species Act and ended up getting not reelected over it. So that was very unfortunate. But we always want to have our local perspective listened to, because those are the representatives that live in our communities, and you see in the grocery store, so that they know the impact. And so we can work on that. I think it's something that a lot of communities, especially those timber communities, have been successful with. I haven't seen it used in a farming community, but like I said, I'm familiar with the organization and have done a lot of research on it.
All right, well, let's go to John, who's calling from New York State. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, John, how are you doing?
Fine, Dr. Stan, how are you tonight?
Doing fine.
Greetings to your guest, Ashley. Regarding this situation in California, I'm not surprised that people are unaware, because your points regarding the political reality of the people who push these programs is spot on, in my opinion. They don't care if everybody, or for most part, people were starved because there were no crops being grown in California. However, I just recently finished audiobook on Alexander Hamilton and some others, and in fact as well. And I think that I'm not surprised, I suppose, but it comes to mind that the history education, the superficiality of history education, has struck me regarding what most people learn in school. All I remember about Alexander Hamilton in school was that he was killed by Aaron Burr, who happened to be the vice president at the time. But the founders believed regarding the Constitution that anything that was necessary to complete the constitutional mandate was good or had to be done. So these things regarding what the central government is doing does not surprise me a bit. And I don't really think there's going to be much hope in general for a peaceful transfer of intellectual property here.
Well, John, basically the Constitution is very clear. All power is not specifically given to the United States by the Constitution or reserved to it by that are to be reserved to the states and to the people. And the Constitution was a restrictive document that limited the power of the federal government. Central government, that is what our founding fathers want. Remember, so much of what you will hear or read today is distorted intentionally. Most people honestly believe we are a democracy, and yet you can read the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, the Bill of Rights, the constitutions of every one of our states, and never once see the use of the word democracy other than to say, we do not want a democracy. So how could you beguile and confuse and lie to a whole nation? Why, of course, we have freedom of the press, which means people who control the press have the freedom to distort whatever they want to. Alexander Hamilton was a Federalist. Pardon me, he wanted all power. He wanted a king. I don't know whether that's what your book said, but he wanted a king. He even walked out of the Constitution because he was so upset that they would not have an all-powerful federal government. Did your audio book tell you that?
Well, it did mention that he was a monarchist.
He was absolutely a monarchist. He believed in a ruling elite, and that's what the people in charge believe today. Anyway, it's a fascinating subject, but our Constitution is very specific. You don't have to be a giant to read it. All you have to do is see what it says. It restricts the power of the federal government. And for 150 years, it was pretty effective, and the Supreme Court upheld that. But unfortunately, most people have no idea what the Constitution says today. That's why we often have people on here encouraging people to take a course in the Constitution and learn about the heritage of our country and how we lost it. Anything else, John?
Well, I agree with you that it is a restrictive document except for the necessary and proper clause.
The necessary and proper clause has been totally misconstrued because of everything necessary and proper, then why do they have the Ninth and Tenth Amendments? Can you explain that?
Well, precisely my point. The states insisted on, or many of the states insisted on the Bill of Rights
to restrict the power of the federal government. And there are people who will use these terms that have nothing to do with their meaning, take one sentence out of context to justify the all-powerful government. Hey, thanks so much for calling. Ashley, do you have any thoughts on what John is saying from New York?
No, but I don't think that, not specifically to that constitutional amendment, but as to the, environmental movement, I think that farmers need to do a better job telling our story, that we have, what we do is good for our country, and the environment doesn't have a higher moral calling than farmers do, and I think that's important for us to tell.
Well, I think what the important thing, in my estimation, is to point out that what the federal government is doing is unconstitutional. We have a subversive element there that want an all-powerful government, just like Alexander Hamilton did, where a monarchy would rule the nation. Well, let's go to Peter calling from Salinas. Hi, Peter. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a couple quick comments. Number one, let's not forget the fishermen of California who really rely on the runoff from our rivers to provide them with the habitat for the salmon. And this is the last couple years the coho salmon in California have disappeared. And so what I really want to redirect Ashley to as far as the people who are siphoning off the water that don't deserve it are the golf courses and the lawns of California. I'm really well aware of...
You think there's a real shortage of water out there in the ocean then, huh?
Well, no. Dr. Stan, is there any argument that the salmon have disappeared from the California waterways?
No, and I will tell you one reason why, and that is, of course, that they've had farm fish, and we got videos of the people from the fish and game actually up there killing the salmon, clubbing them, electrocuting them, because they want the problem. They don't want a solution. Peter, you have to understand that they are intentionally creating these problems because, of course, they want to justify doing away with our fishermen and doing away with our agriculture and pitting one group against the other because they have a different vision for America. Anything else, Peter?
I'm not disagreeing with that at all, Dr. Stan, but we in California, again, there's no reason for Californians to have lawns and there's no reason for these golf courses that swallow 1 million gallons a day. I want that water to go to the farmers. I want that water to go to the rivers to provide the fish with, again, spawning areas. That's my only comment is we need to stay focused on, again, there's more than just the government is the problem. That's my only comment.
All right. Well, how would you respond to Peter calling from Salinas?
You know, I think it's important to look at how California water is used. And the number one user of water in California is the environment, then farmers, and then urban use. But conservation's part of it, but we can't just kink our hoses and think we're going to, you know, solve the problem. We have to look at, you know, look at the big picture. And I agree about the fishing industry. I mean, we are an organization that had the Farmers and Fishermen Alliance. They are an industry that has been crippled by this. And surprisingly enough, farmers do a lot to save the fish, and they put in fish screens, and we run a program to keep fish in the river and so water on the farm so that we can sustain agriculture in our state. So it's about that balance.
And one of the most disturbing videos I ever saw was the pictures that were taken of the people from Fish and Game clubbing and electrocuting the farm fish that they return from the ocean because they don't want a solution. They want a problem. Well, let's go to Roman, who's calling from Ohio. Hi, Roman. How are you doing?
Yes. It's an honor to talk to you, Dr. Stanley Monteith. So I was just getting ready to go to bed, and I got you on my shortwave radio, and I'm one of the people that am aware of some of the problems going on over there in California and the state of Washington with this water. But,
go ahead.
I'm so frustrated, I can't do nothing about it. You know, I'm one of the people that's out of work because of this gizmo that's in the, well, there's so many rotten people that are in government now. And I was working for the government. I was doing construction work. And it just galls me because where I'm at, I see waste every single day of the year the way they work to me. And I don't know if you're going to slam down the phone on me, but I think it's a total waste of money for governments to pay women to be soldiers and to pay women to be police officers and so many other things. It's just one of the many things that creates a real budget deficit. As far as all this water problems and all that, you know, what am I going to... It's a problem.
Well, you just keep your room, and you're just going to have to keep listening here. And we appreciate so much your calling, and I can tell from your voice how frustrated you are. But there is a solution, but nobody's ever going to talk about it. It's called the American Constitution. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Ashley, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, I want to thank you.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
And of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is still primarily listener-supported. We depended upon you. And if you couldn't help us get the information out, the truth out, that you're not going to get elsewhere, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, how do we understand what's going on? How do we understand this effort to suddenly shut down fishing? Peter from Salinas was talking about that, and I think it's something we should be concerned about. Should we be concerned about the organized effort to transfer America's manufacturing and jobs to other countries? How should we be concerned about the fact that Or why should we be concerned? Because even though, of course, we're running massive deficits every single day, about $5 billion, we're still giving $5 billion a month to foreign countries in foreign aid, money that we have to borrow so we can give it away. Should we be concerned about the effort to destroy agriculture in America? And you can't understand what's going on unless you see the big picture. There's an organized effort to destroy this nation, to destroy our fishing, our agriculture, our industry, our manufacturing, to destroy the value of our currency. They know exactly what they're doing. It's all part of this program of sustainable development and, of course, population control as well. If you've never heard my talk on population control, if you've never heard our 4-tape set on population control, if you've never read my treatise on the population control agenda, or simply heard my talk on planned population reduction, none dare call it genocide or population control. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, of course, this is all laid out in three documents. One is the Global Biodiversity Assessment, which is summarized in the Sustainable Development Syllabus, and everybody should have a copy of that. Then there's the Agenda 21. You can get it from the United Nations or from Michael Shaw's group, Freedom Advocates. And third, of course, is the Earth Charter, and you can pull that down from the Internet, or you'll get a copy of that in my Sustainable Development Syllabus. There is an agenda. What's happening is not happening by accident. It's part of a long-range plan to transfer the wealth and the prosperity of the American people to other nations. And once you understand that, all of this makes sense. So we do hope that many of you will want to get our Sustainable Development Syllabus, our certainly talk on sustainable development, the road to world government, our population control agenda monograph, and if you get anything else, you can just ask for a copy. We'll send it to you, or it's available at our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can pull it down and read it. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will want, of course, get our other material, my talk on planned population reduction, none dare call it genocide, population control. You need to get this information. You need to find out that about the vaccination. You need to find out, of course, one of the most carefully concealed secrets is that the H1N1 epidemic is almost over. They're going to go ahead and vaccinate people unnecessarily to get the mercury into them, of course, they wonder why we have so much autism in America. Well, it's simply because they're poisoning the brains of our children, and they know that. That's in the Southwood report, the secret CDC report, which you can purchase from Radio Liberty, or actually believe that it's on the CD-ROM you get if you order the DVD, Mercury Autism, and the Global Vaccine Agenda. I think it's on there, but you can get it all. We've actually pulled it down. And we make it available, the Simpson Wood Report. Understand that this is why we have so much Alzheimer's disease. We have probably over 5 million cases of Alzheimer's disease in America today. Why? Because demented people die off early. Could anybody be that cruel and crass? Well, they really are, because they worship a different God. Our number 1-800-544-8927. And don't forget our seminar. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ted Pike, who's talking about a whole flock of new so-called hate bills that are going through Congress, being considered in Congress. Ted, what happened to the last hate bill that was going through? Did Congressman Obama, pardon me, did President Obama sign it? Ted, are you there? Ted's landline is down. Well, my goodness, this doesn't sound very good. Is there any way we're going to be able to actually get hold of Ted? He's on his... Ted, are you there? Well, we don't seem to be getting Ted at all, so I'm going to have to ask our producer to go ahead and call him back again. Ted, are you there? No. Okay, fine. So I'm going to just cut him off, and then we'll get Daniel to get him back on again. Hopefully we'll be able to get Ted. So anyway, basically our guest is Ted Pike, and Ted's a minister who's really on the front lines of this battle on the so-called hate legislation, which is really an effort to restrict free speech in America. It's totally unconstitutional. And after all, wasn't it Voltaire who said, you know, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll defend to my death your right to say it. And certainly there are people who do not want free speech in America today, who want to control what's said, and who want to use the power of government to punish anyone who really speaks the truth. And, of course, the last thing that they want is for the American people to know what's really going on. Well, anyway, we're going to be back in just a moment. Hopefully we're going to have Ted Pike here, and we're going to be able to talk a little bit about some of the problems that are coming down the line, because apparently there are all sorts of new pieces of legislation on hate legislation coming up. Hi, Ted. How are you doing?
Yes, pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us now, what happened to the last piece of hate legislation that, you know, was supposedly, there was a question whether or not President Obama was going to sign it. What happened?
Well, it was passed by the House and the Senate. Senate passed it in July and attached it to the National Defense Appropriations Bill as a rider. Of course, that is the annual funding for our military worldwide. And it is moving forward now, attached to the appropriations bill. There's some delay in consideration of the appropriations bill, and they won't be making final decisions about that until the first week or so of October. But what we are hoping is that the discord between the members of the House and the President over what President Obama calls military pork, extra funding, especially for F-35 engines, will result in discord, and the President will actually veto the defense bill that has the hate bill attached to it. That would be a wonderful boon because that would kill the hate bill in this session of Congress. But we'll have to see over the next few weeks whether this discord and contention between the President and what he wants in the arms bill and the Democrats in the House actually materializes into. Meanwhile, we've got more than we can handle right on our hands now, because there are more than no less than four major pieces of so-called anti-hate legislation moving through the House Judiciary subcommittees right now.
All right, fine. So basically, what do you think the chances are that we're going to be able to block any of them at the present time?
Well, all I can
hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Ted Pike. Ted, go right ahead.
All I can say is we have to repeat the same strategy, which was really very effective in delaying the hate bill and has defeated the hate bill in previous Congresses, and that is to not only call our members of the Senate, our two senators from our state, but also our House member, and protest all so-called hate and bias crimes legislation coming through. Obviously, when you've got four major bills coming through, each with their own title and bill number, it gets kind of confusing. But we have to let them know, the Democrats especially, that we are not only very angry about the health care reform, socialized medicine package, we're just as angry, if not more angry, about pushing hate crimes legislation down us, down the throat of moving that through here, when we know that such legislation has taken away freedom of speech in other countries.
Well, now, basically, I thought there were some restrictions placed on the legislation. What happened, my understanding, that didn't the Senator Brownback put a rider on the Senate bill that would put actually restricted how the hate legislation was going to be utilized, and what happened when the bill went to committee?
Well, yes, the Brownback amendment was attached. We garnered so much protest in the last couple of days, so much pressure on the Democrats, they could be conciliated, and they did accept Senator Brownback's amendment, which would put some pretty strict restrictions on the right of the hate bill to punish people like talk radio hosts and pastors for speech that might incite some unstable person to commit a violent hate crime. The Brownback amendment is in there as part of the Senate version. It was basically rejected in the House version. So we could have some contention between House Democrats and Senate Democrats in conference committee, which will be coming up in the next few weeks. The radical Democrats could try to strip off the Brownback amendment, so we will have to remain alert to that. But we are fortunate in having that. That softens the hate bill a little bit, although the general momentum of the hate bill is much stronger, I believe, than the Brownback amendment, leading us down a slippery slope toward a hate crimes, a thought crimes bureaucracy in America.
Well, the Brownback Amendment basically restricted their ability to use this against ministers and other people who were speaking out against it. You know, if you just spoke out against, say, homosexuality and said God said it was wrong, why, you could not be considered a federal criminal?
Yes, that's what the Brownback Amendment says.
Hold that thought, Ted. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you have to understand there really is a fascist element in our society who doesn't believe in freedom of speech. These traditions of America, as Voltaire said, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll fight to the death for your right to say it. And that's all right, of course, when they want to say something, but when people want to disagree, why, of course, they want to pass legislation to put people in jail for saying something or for thought crimes or for all sorts of things. If you have a belief that doesn't go along with their belief, that homosexuality is perfectly normal and we should start teaching it to kindergartners and all about all sorts of sexual aberration, that's really important, things that kids ought to learn and certainly in kindergarten under any circumstances. The legislation, hate legislation, had passed both the House and the Senate, but the Senate bill had something called the Brownback Amendment, which said that it really restricted how the legislation could be used. Now that legislation is in House, Senate committee hearings, and if the Brownback Amendment stays in there, why it won't be so bad, although still, because the legislation was tagged onto the defense bill. It's entirely possible that President Obama would veto the bill, not because he that he opposes the hate legislation, but because there's so much pork in the defense bill, and if he has any courage to just say, I'm not going to pass that. I mean, this is a boondoggle. You're actually authorizing all sorts of things the military hasn't even asked for. We have massive deficits. We've got to get spending under control. And so I'm just vetoing this legislation, and if President Obama would do that, then this legislation we're talking about would end. But Ted is pointing out there are four new pieces of legislation. How are these pieces of legislation differing than that that has already been passed and enacted by both houses? However, they differ because of the Brownback amendment to the Senate bill, which will certainly restrict its use and make it at least nowhere near as bad as it would have been without that. So how does this new legislation stack up, and why are they passing new legislation when it looks like they're going to get their old legislation through?
Well, the big federal hate bill is kind of the mothership of these other bills. It is a broad attack upon free speech, upon states' rights and law enforcement. It will certainly broaden out into a broad speech crimes law, as has happened in Canada and other countries and so on. Now, the first bill that's moving through, in fact, is just tomorrow morning in the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime. They will be holding a hearing on ENDA, which is called the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And ENDA is basically a federal requirement that all businesses in America with employees of more than 15 must hire qualified homosexuals. And if a homosexual comes and is qualified for a position, no employer will be able to turn him down. And if he is hired, he cannot be terminated for any reasons having to do with his sexual orientation or his mannerisms or behavior as a homosexual, which is lawful on the job. And so this is basically a declaration by the federal government that according to the civil rights laws of the 1960s, civil rights law of 1964, the homosexuals will be added to a list of specially privileged groups, especially blacks and Latinos, Jews, women, and so on, who have a special rights to demand equal employment by any employer with over 15 employees in America.
Well, that will certainly put a damper on employers. I know I've been an employer, and a small employer, admittedly, in a medical office, but very often I would interview half a dozen people for a job. And, of course, sometimes the most qualified I would not even consider because they would continue to work in a job that really didn't require somebody with their qualifications. I had to find somebody that I felt you know, we could train, that it was not well trained, that would be willing to work, would be willing to learn the medical practice, and eventually might work their way on up to become the office manager over a period of years. But you don't always take the individual that's most qualified. You take the person who's going to fit into the niche where they are. You get a very well qualified person into a job that doesn't pay very well, they're not going to stay there. And, of course, only with time are they going to gradually work their way up. So often, the best qualified people really weren't qualified for the job that I was hiring them for. So that is a decision that I, as an employer, would have to make. And then, of course, there would be times when I would want to take the most qualified. If I was looking for an office manager, then that would be an entirely different situation. But I would want to hire somebody who had a long period of certainly sticking with jobs, where I felt would be permanent, it would be loyal, and so I had to use my judgment. How can they second guess, you know, just because somebody's homosexual and said, well, I was discriminated against because I'm homosexual? I mean, certainly that would keep me from hiring. I mean, actually, I'll tell you, many times homosexuals are excellent employees. Homosexuals many times are very kind and caring people. And I will tell you that many often homosexual nurses do a great job in a hospital. So, I mean, certainly it depends upon where they're going to be working. But that should be the decision of the employer, not certainly a federal law saying you have to employ somebody. It should be who, in your judgment, would do the best possible job for you.
Well, you see, this kind of legislation is part of the Marxist idea that your business really doesn't belong to you. You're a capitalist, you're an exploiter of the people, and the people, the masses, basically have the right to take over your business and say who you can, who you must employ, who you must honor by providing the business opportunities which you have labored so long to make possible. The whole idea of communism is the abolition of private property. And ENDA and all of these bills, this even goes back to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, they basically declared that no longer does an employer own his own property, but to a very large degree, the people, especially privileged minorities or oppressed minorities, have the right to come in and say, you have to hire me because I'm asking for the job. I'm as qualified as anybody else. And obviously, this kind of legislation is extremely problematic because it gives homosexuals a very wide degree and a degree of perversity. I mean, there are, according to Steve King, there are 547 paraphilias or sexual perversions which are protected under the category of sexual orientation. And Representative Alfie Hastings made that very clear in the House debate this spring. He said all of these groups, everybody except heterosexuals, straight people, will receive special federal protection because of who they are under these hate crimes laws, specifically the hate bill, the federal hate bill. And so this gives the homosexuals the right to claim and file a complaint against you if they think that you have acted in a biased way against them. Of course, that opens up problems for you. You have to prove that you weren't biased or whatever. And not only that, but if you do hire the homosexual, which can include a great many people who are very unstable within the homosexual community, then you can't fire him because you're afraid that he will again bring in the local DA an inquiry whether you fired him because of his sexual orientation. And not only that, but this legislation is perverse because it requires, it states very clearly that if a male wants to declare that he is becoming a female, he's transgendering from male to female, and regardless of whether he's had any surgery to make that happen or taking hormones or anything like that, if he announces to his employer that he's decided he's a female, then the federal government will honor that, it will regard him as a female, and that employer has to allow him access to women's restrooms, women's shower and locker facilities, whatever. And this is absolutely outrageous, you see, because this legislation is basically predicated on the idea that there's no such thing as sex. We are declared sex by who, male or female, by whoever happens to be officiating at our birth. But if we want to declare ourselves drifting over to the opposite sex, they are going to honor that. And it means that any employer who refuses to allow a male who is becoming a female from access to women's locker rooms, then that employer again becomes a federal hate criminal.
Well, we live in a world gone mad, Ted. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California and out across the nation, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question or comment for the pastor, Ted Pike, who has taken it upon himself to try to get information out about this legislation, the thing is that most people are not going to hear about this on their television. Their television station is not there to reveal what's going on, to conceal what's going on, not to really explain to people things that are happening behind the scenes, not to get into this conspiracy against God and God's plan and the fact that God made us male and female, and we can't decide we're going to change God's plan. God doesn't make mistakes. He made us the way we are, and there certainly are effeminate men, but that doesn't mean that they suddenly can become a woman, and of course God certainly speaks against so much of what's going on, and God is going to bring his judgment on this nation, mark my word. Ted, go right ahead.
Yes.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Be a Jewish organization, they're really not. The basic purpose is to inflame hatred against Jews, because you see what they're doing. It's very obvious that they want to destroy our nation, destroy our Constitution. They've been doing it for 50 years. I remember talking to Dan Smoot, who told me how the ADL went out to destroy his ministry because he was pushing the Constitution and Americanism. I remember talking to a Norman Dodd, who in 1954 was investigating the great tax-exempt foundations. What did that have to do with the ADL? Well, the great tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie, were part of this brotherhood that was trying to destroy our nation and bring Marxism to America, and they frankly threatened Norman Dodd's life. I spent a couple of weekends with him, and he told me how they threatened his life. Why, if they were a Jewish organization, why were they threatening his life? Because, of course, they hate God, and they hate America. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on makes sense. And there are a lot of similar organizations, B'nai B'rith, pretending to be Jewish and really there to inflame hatred against the Jewish people. So go right ahead, Ted.
Yes. And now the next is the Safe Schools Improvement Act of 2009, H.R. 2262. Now this, again, is an ADL bill which outlaws criticism of homosexuality in public schools. And if a young person in public school, or even an administrator or a teacher, indulges in persistent or persuasive criticism of homosexuality, according to this legislation, that will be called bullying and harassment. And if that so-called bullying or harassment, which is criticizing sodomy, goes to the point that a homosexual student feels so badly that he may not be able to attend some school event, then that Christian, even if he's a Christian in grade school, that person in grade school or high school, a student or a administrator or a faculty member, will be considered a federal hate criminal. This is federal legislation. This is not a local ordinance or municipal or state ordinance. This is federal legislation now telling us that it is against the law of the land to criticize homosexuality in the public school.
Well, of course, this is a total violation of our Constitution. And if we had the Constitution in place and if people understood the Constitution, we would understand there are subversive elements within the ADL and B'nai B'rith and certainly within every level of our country, including Congress, the courts, and the executive branch of government that hate America, that hate the Constitution. Because the federal government has nothing to say legally about how we feel or what we say. Those things are restricted and out of their venue. So the fact they're trying to get this legislation through, of course, this has been going on for a long time. They hate any restriction on the power of government over the lives of the people. They're not interested in homosexuality. If they were, they wouldn't have done everything they could to block the use of effective public health techniques that could have saved the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans, homosexuals who died in this country because they blocked public health measures, which many homosexuals supported. But these people hate blacks, they hate homosexuals, and yet, of course, they hide behind these pious ideas. And we're doing two programs tomorrow on blockchainicide. Ladies and gentlemen, blockchainicide is taking place in America today. And is being pushed by the very people who are all the time talking about how concerned they are about freedom. Go ahead.
Well, this bill, the High State Schools Improvement Act, also would require school programs to, quote-unquote, teach students about the consequences of bullying and harassment, which, of course, means criticism of homosexuality, and to prevent public disapproval of homosexuality. And parents, it says the parents and students will be taught to intervene whenever any criticism of homosexuality occurs. And the government under this bill will provide, quote, grievance procedures for students and parents that seek to register complaints regarding the prohibited conduct. So you see, the government is going to be coming in violation of the 10th Amendment, coming in right down to the local level, literally down to the grade school, even the kindergarten level, and establishing a presence there, encouraging, informing, and tattling by the local administrators or students against any person in the public school system who is guilty of persistent or persuasive criticism of homosexuality.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Ted Pike. And, of course, as Thomas Jefferson said, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. But can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. And can you give me one reason why God should bless America when the things are going on that are going on today in this country? Well, we have real problems, and what we must understand, we're involved in the spiritual struggle. We'll be right back with Ted Pike. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Ted Pike, who's on the front lines of the effort to actually prevent this hate legislation from getting through. And basically, this is all about undermining and gutting our Constitution. It is all about extending the power of the federal government into every aspect of our lives and actively promoting homosexuality, which is an affront to God. And so there are a lot of people out there who are homosexuals who are trapped in the system. It's not a lifestyle. It's a death style. It's not gay. It's unhappy. And of these people unburden their souls to you, they don't like the way it is, but they don't know how to get out of it, and there's only one way to get out, and that is through the help of our Lord, who can actually bring that healing, but they don't want healing. Actually, this is homosexuality is being actively encouraged by the people who believe in population control. Because homosexuals really an ideal situation. They ordinarily don't produce. They die young. And there really are people who hate homosexuals who want to do everything they can to promote this type of lifestyle in the name of genetics and eugenics and certainly population control. Well, our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But before we go on, Ted, first of all, I want you to get your website out, and then I want you to tell our listeners what you want them to do about this hate legislation.
All right, yes. I have a complete report on these four new bills which are traveling through the House Judiciary Committees in the next few weeks, and that's at truthtellers.org. At truthtellers.org, we are the premier world website in educating against the whole idea of hate crimes legislation, its twisted terminology and philosophy, as well as the many abuses of hate crimes laws worldwide, and we're trying to keep all of this from coming to America. We have interesting videos there, short videos, long videos, everything you and your church, your pastor should ever want to know about the threat, hate crimes legislation. And before I go on to the phone numbers, maybe I could just consider the last one. We've got one more corker of a federal hate bill coming through here. It's the National Hate Crimes Hotline Act of 2009. The bill number is H.R. 264. And this is an attempt, again, by a thinly designed disguised attempt by ADL to put itself in literally the driver's seat of the management of a federal hate crimes bureaucracy and Gestapo in America. It was introduced in this June, and it wants to establish a hotline, a hate crimes hotline, a big website, an information center in Washington, D.C., a hate crimes database, linking together governments and information and statistics worldwide. And it also wants even more training and education in local law enforcement than the ADL already provides. The ADL is entirely in command of teaching police, officials in the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department on its twisted definitions of hate and bias and hate crimes and so on, and statistics gathering and all of that kind of thing. This legislation, which again is contrived by ADL, wants to increase that even more, clear down to the local precinct level. And this bill wants to encourage the prevention of hate crimes in America through more education against, you know, the terms homophobia, domestic terrorism, anti-Semitism, and so on. And this bill also says and borrows straight off from the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center websites, claims that there's a 54% increase in hate groups in America over the past 8 years. And, of course, these hate groups include Christian groups, evangelical groups who are critical of homosexuality, include those who oppose a woman's so-called right of choice to kill her unborn baby. It also includes all kinds of people who might be critical of Israel or the Zionist agenda, etc., as well as racists and and really radical people, but this legislation would establish first of all, it says it's going to allow a private organization, a couple of private organizations, to run this emerging hate crimes Gestapo in Washington, and then after 3 years, then it will be turned over to another private organization with vast experience in hate crimes theory, management, statistics gathering, enforcement, all of that, and that can only mean the Anti-Defamation League. And so this is an attempt by ADL to actually get in the driver's seat of a federal hate crimes Gestapo. And you see, what we have here is we have five hate crimes laws now converging for almost inevitable passage by the Democratic House and the Senate, which will effectively set up a working hate crimes bureaucracy in America. The federal hate bill will lead to an end of free speech. We'll have the federal government coming down into business and into the schools. Everywhere we will see evidences of the unification of federal and local police into a hate crimes, basically a police state in America. So this is an ominous, an extremely ominous time in American history, where we are really on the verge of almost a Marxist revolution in our judicial system.
This is not a Marxist revolution. This is part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. You go back and you read Dan Smoot's book, written in 1960, The Invisible Government, and he talked about how the ADL is part of the Council on Foreign Relations. Of course, I don't think anybody really understood it. I know I didn't when I first read that book, you know, probably 45 years ago, that basically, this is all part of a satanic conspiracy. And certainly there is the Sabbatean movement. We, our good friend Barry Samish, writes about this extensively. This is a satanic branch of the certainly a group working within the Jewish religion, just as there are satanic groups working within the Catholic religion, the Protestant religion. But don't let them manipulate you into disliking Jewish people or hating Jewish people. It is these satanic groups that are the enemy. But they never will tell you that. They do everything they can to get people fighting one another. And they want, of course, to get the Christian to hate the Jew, and the Jew to hate the Christian, and both of them to hate the Catholic. They're doing a great job of it. Well, let's go to Marilyn, who's calling from California, up there, and up by Sacramento, isn't it, Marilyn?
Tulsa Bronte.
All right.
Which is in the Bay Area.
All right, fine.
My church has a school, goes from kindergarten up to high school, and it's a traditional Christian education. They even have corporal punishment to discipline the kids.
Oh, this is different, Marilyn. I was thinking it was the Marilyn from Sacramento, but okay, nope. Fine. So you've got actually a school where they actually discipline children? Why?
Yes.
Isn't that terrible?
We already fought off Zionist Sally Lieber's bill that would outlaw any corporal punishment for your kids. Now, if this passes, our school will be out of business because we teach the Bible literally. That's one of the classes from day one up to the time they graduate.
Well, you keep right on teaching it, and so we'll get Brad Dacus and the Pacific Justice Foundation to defend you. We talked to Brad just this morning, and he's up there in Sacramento, and he will defend people who, of course, are being persecuted for their faith and their belief that homosexuality is wrong. We have a right to be critical of these things, because if God says so, not to dislike, not to hate homosexuals, but to preach that homosexuality is wrong because God, in his holy scriptures, says it's wrong. And so don't get discouraged. Just help us get the word out and help people understand the Constitution, Marilyn. We need people to study the Constitution, to understand the foundation of America, because that's the law of our land. And we've just got a lot of subversives working in Washington, D.C., and in the ADL that want to destroy this nation. Anything else you wanted to say?
I just wanted to tell you, we did go up to challenge the bill that Ms. Lieber put out, and we won. And now we're waiting for to see what happens with the hate crimes bill, because if that passes, we will definitely be out of business.
All right. Well, I hope that you will actually go ahead and put in the calls. Ted will be back here in just a moment or two, and get the telephone numbers to get out and the bill numbers. Got your pencil and paper ready?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. How are you listening to us on? You're listening
internet.
God bless. And how did you hear about us in the first place?
Oh, I come to your conferences every year.
Okay, fine. Well,
oh, yeah, I've known you for a long time. I've got a picture of me and you at a Republican ladies' convention back when I used to be in the Republican Party.
Well, that was a long time ago anyway. God bless you. Thanks so much. Okay. Okay, that was Marilyn.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Ruby calling from Live Oak again. Once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Ruby. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi, I just wanted to remind your listeners that we are instructed to love the sinner but hate the sin, and homosexuality is wrong, and I admire you for trying to help to destroy this AIDS conspiracy. I've heard you talk about that several times, and gee, what a frustrating battle. But that's not why I called. I wanted to call and ask, do you think there's any possibility that we could promote some sort of a hate crimes bill to help these poor little babies that are hated so much? I'm going on a walk for life this Saturday to help the Pregnancy Resource Center, and probably about 100 other people are going to be walking.
You mean the hatred of the unborn? That's a great idea.
That's
how
right.
about hatred of the unborn, the people who express hatred for the unborn? Could we get something like that through, Ted?
Well, that's a good idea, a long-term idea. The truth of the matter is, Ruby, that if you go up into Canada, the pro-lifers in Canada are ruthlessly persecuted under these hate crimes laws. And I have an article, in fact, a couple of months ago at our website, truthtellers.org, about Bill Watcott, who is an outstanding pro-lifer, I believe, up in Saskatchewan. And he presently owes the government $250,000. For many, many indictments in jail terms, etc., legal fees. He has been gone to jail repeatedly, again and again over the years, simply for standing on a public sidewalk with a sign protesting the murder of the unborn. And so, yes, the poor unfortunates by the hundreds of millions are crying out for some kind of legislative redress for their very, very great genocide and sin and hate crime against them. But meanwhile, right now, we are literally only within days, if not weeks, from passage of four more very dangerous federal hate crimes bills. In fact, as I mentioned earlier on the program, just tomorrow morning into the Employment Non-Discrimination Act will be in the judiciary hearing in the Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime.
Okay, fine. Anything else you'd like to ask?
No, I just wanted to throw that in and throw in a plug for the Pregnancy Resource Center.
Okay. Well, they do a great job, and I want you to know that we support them. We have for many years, and I'm glad you're going to go on that walk for
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
God bless.
Okay,
thanks so much.
Bye.
And, Sydney, our guest is Ted Pike. If you're out there and you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Ted, what do you want our listeners to do?
Yes, right now we've got to get the calls avalanching in to our members, our two members of the Senate from our state, as well as our House member from our district. And also I'd like people to consider making calls to all of these crucial members of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees, which are going to be considering all four of these bills within the next few weeks. Representative Steve King, who is a real bulldog against the hate bill, especially the straying in the House, he recommends phoning in to the judiciary members. Take a couple of hours of your time tomorrow or this week, and you can come to truthtellers.org for the complete list. It's on our action page, the complete list, of all of the members, both Democrat and Republicans, of the House and Senate Judiciary Committee. I'd like you to call your two members of the Senate from your state, as well as your congressional representative. But here's the toll-free number that will get you in to Congress. Toll-free to the Congress is 877-851-6010. 877-877-6437. Again, that toll-free number to Congress, 877-851-6437. And there's a backup toll number, which is 202-225-3121. Again, that backup number, 202-225-3121. Here's what I suggest you say to members of Congress. Here's my message. I am angry that the Democrats are moving forward even more freedom-stealing hate crimes bills. I will vote against the senator or congressman who votes for hate and bias crimes legislation. Again, this message, which I'm recommending you give to your senators and House members, I am angry that the Democrats are moving forward even more freedom-stealing hate crimes bills. I will vote against the senator or congressman who votes for hate and bias crimes legislation. You see, we've got to let all these Democrats and even some wayward Republicans know that we're going to remember next November at midterm elections, if they continue to vote in these hate bills, we are going to vote them out about 11 months from now. We are never going to forgive or forget if they pass this freedom-stealing legislation.
All right, fine. Well, of course, that the old adage that certainly most of the congressmen aren't dedicated to the left or the right. They're just dedicated to staying there in Congress. And if they know that the people are not going to support them or actively going to campaign against them, they're going to run for cover with their tail between their legs. And believe me, an awful lot of them do have tails. You've just never seen them. Anyway, we've got a real battle before us, but people have to understand it's a spiritual battle. It certainly is being fought on a political battlefield. But we have an obligation to be involved, because certainly by not being involved, why we give our assent to what's going on? And again, men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. We live in an evil and fallen world. There is a conspiracy against God. And of course now, of course, they're in the final stages of destroying the very fabric of our society. Our guest, Ted Pike, his plea, get involved and go to his website. Once again, the website, Ted?
Yes, the website is
truthtellers.org. Truthtellers.org. Go there, get the information, and of course, help Ted. He's doing a great job of leading this battle. And we'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up tonight's program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, you know, America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620 or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Going on. Of course, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the talk. It's up on the internet at our website, radioliberty.com. We hope you'll maybe even want to buy the CD, because then, probably the DVD, because then you can copy it and get it out, and we encourage you to do that. As long as you're not selling them, why, you're welcome to distribute them, or even get a dollar or two just to help covering your expenses. That's fine. We're selling ideas, and if you can help us financially, all the better, but the major thing is to get the truth out about the spiritual battle that's taking place for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and they're doing everything they can to recruit people into these movements, Oprah Winfrey, CBS, ABC, NBC, all the history channels, so many of the things, putting out things to undermine our faith in the God of the Bible and the validity of the scriptures. Oh, they're so subtle and they're so clever. And a lot of it's very fascinating. But there's an underlying current to destroy your faith, your simple faith in God. So, remember, if you were to die tomorrow, where would you spend eternity? Are you absolutely certain why you would get into heaven? If you're not, then maybe you better see Pastor Billy Crone's 10-DVD set on the final countdown or on creation. He has two of them, and you can get half of them, part one or part two of either one. But he ends each one with an invitation to a personal relationship with our Lord. One reason I think they're such a great asset, and we encourage people to get them, is because if you don't have a relationship with our Lord, then you need to have one. And it's the only thing that's going to see you through the very difficult times that lie ahead, because the America we have known is never going to exist again. The prosperity, the artificial prosperity, certainly will not be there, and the only thing we can hope for is some element of freedom. But that is far more important than the prosperity that we've had. And the good life, because it's been bought and purchased at the price of so much suffering overseas. 1 million dead in Iraq, killed by American bullets primarily. 1 million widows in Iraq. 5 million orphans in Iraq. And who's responsible? Oh, shucks, nobody's responsible. It just happened. Ladies and gentlemen, they knew exactly what they were doing when they took us into Afghanistan, when they took us into Iraq, when they took down the Twin Towers and play those videos over and over again to get us to be willing to go into the war with so-called Al-Qaeda, with terrorism, just exactly as they played those films over and over again of what happened at Pearl Harbor. Did you ever wonder where those films came from, how they happened to have the film cameras set up? They actually shot the original films in color film. Where did they get the cameras all set up that day with color film on a Sunday? Why they wanted to have the film footage to show it over and over again to drum up support to go to war with Japan and with Germany. It's all contrived, ladies and gentlemen. It's all contrived. Well, this is the point when I need to mention that we are having our conference, our all-day conference on the 25th of October, and if you're out there across America, we hope you're going to be able to come. And then, of course, we hope that you'll certainly tell others about our all-day conference. We're having a great day lineup. That Sunday, October the 25th, we're serving lunch, so you're going to have to certainly have your reservations. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to understand the Brotherhood of Darkness. Read the book. Watch the DVD. You need to hear my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. You need to hear our talk on the financial Armageddon and financial tsunami. And, of course, all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. HIV war, because we are at war. America is under attack today. The enemy is not in a cave in Pakistan or in Moscow. He's in New York and Washington.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Today is Tuesday, 22nd of September, 2009. Thank you for joining us today. Well, we have to report, ladies and gentlemen, that the patriot world, the truth world, has lost one of its greatest patriots, and we are so sorry. I know many of you heard about the passing of Don Harkin this past weekend, and we are very sad to have to tell you that it is a life that, well spent, it is cut short, and Don Harkin has left us, at least for now. His wife, Ingrid, has made a statement, and I'll read that a little bit to you. I think that we need to pay attention to those who have done the right thing for so long and have gone on before us. We must stay the course now, and we must do what Don Harkin would have done, and that would be the greatest thing that we could do in his honor. We are so sorry to have to tell you of his passing. I'm sorry I was not here yesterday. Apologize for that situation. I had a weird situation that happened, and I'll tell you just briefly about it after the break. But it was unfortunate that at the last minute I was not able to join you, and so I thank John and Josh for kind of taking over and handling things, at least getting us a replay on the air. So thank you so much for your patience. Let's talk about what is in the news today. If you're watching television, well, it's the usual. It's the Ahmadinejad's going to speak at the United Nations. There's going to be a G20 meeting. There's going to be new information on the economic crisis that looms around us. Why and what there's going to be transpiring, and what is going to be transpiring at the United Nations or at the G20 meeting, will probably not be known to those of us who are out here in the hinterlands. We hear only what they want us to hear, of course. The president has been making so many trips before the news media, continuously, constantly, attempting to try and assuage our fears over the economy and anything else that's going to take place, while all the time doing nothing but making media shows. There is no way that he can be doing any kind of government of, by, and for the people when he is on television almost all the time, every day. I don't think people realize how much time it takes before and after one of the presidential programs, so that's where I take that information, and I have actually seen at least one of those news releases and news events, and it takes quite a bit of the president's time. In other news, home pesticides linked to childhood cancers. We've got to cover this story. If you use those flea bombs around your children, please understand what you're doing. why is breast cancer usually found around the armpit? I think we need to talk about this. There's a new U.S. anti-missile system in Israel. Azerbaijan is going to replace the scrapped shield. A lot of talk over the news media as to what's happening, why we have this continuous desire to want to have the shield system being tossed about by the U.S. media. Incredible how much time it's gotten. Lynn Horowitz files pandemic charges with the FBI in New York City. This is a major story. A Missouri veteran injured by the vaccine is ineligible for the benefit. Ineligible. We've got a listener who wants to share some information with you regarding the robo call that he received to his home. Now there's a question. Is there a dog flu outbreak? And the president wants to bail out the newspapers. Not going very well with the people. They're saying, what is going on with bailing out anyone and everyone who wants one? And the charges for war crimes appear to be going on. Proceeding? Well, that's if you believe in the good cop, bad cop theory of the way things are done in Washington. We'll be right back after this 3-minute break. The major breaking story, though, is a major case regarding credit card companies and the straw man. We'll be back after this 3-minute break.
The opening statement of Senate Report 103-97 admitted that hundreds of thousands of military personnel had been used as human subjects for medical experiments for the past 50 years without their knowledge or consent. Atomic vets, Korean vets, Vietnam vets, Gulf War vets, and now Gulf War II vets have been deliberately exposed to nuclear, biological, chemical weapons, and experimental vaccines, and their medical problems have been ignored, their treatment denied, and in many cases they're told that they're...